All right, welcome back. Who's talking? The crew is here. Hobbo, Frank, Dr. Bobby Call, Michael Tusky, and we're going to be joined here momentarily by the Daily Press sports writer Dave Teal, who's been around the ACC for a long time, and we'll have a lot of insights not only on Virginia but other ACC schools if we're interested. And, you know, the other thing about Dave, now that Bill Brill has passed away, Bill Brill used to be the bracketologist among the ACC sports people. So Dave Teal's kind of taken that over. So we'll have to ask him if he's already got Virginia on the March Madness board. That's my question of the evening.
You got to put him on the hot seat.
Yeah.
All right. You know, while Jesse, our engineer, is hunting down Dave Teal, a couple of interesting things. The UVA all-time record versus Duke is something like 32-30 all-time. It's interesting. They've only played 62 times, whereas Virginia's played North Carolina for over 100 years. So I guess, I don't know, why haven't we played Duke more is sort of the interesting thing. The two schools aspire to higher education, and it seems interesting to me.
It would seem that we probably didn't – I'd have to look at the book, but it would seem that we probably just really started playing Duke once the ACC was formed, and we played Carolina going all the way back to the
– Cro-Magnon days.
19th century, I think, is when we started playing Carolina.
We did. It was 18-something.
Yeah, that's, you know, the 19th century.
Correct, Hobbo. Looking back at Duke's season so far, I think their big pain and suffering was the Virginia Tech game. Their field goal kicker missed a couple of balls that certainly were very makeable. In fact, he hit the right upright from about 32 yards, which I think my colleague sitting to my right, Bobby Call, could have made that kick. But
well, they got off to a bad start against Richmond. Now, it was good for Richmond that Richmond got the victory, but I think Duke had a 20-some yard field goal attempt late in the game that would have won it, and they missed the kick.
They missed the kick, so... But by the same token, Duke was the beneficiary of Boston College missed a chip shot. It looked like an extra point as time expired to win that game 20-19.
So the kid hit the upright, I think. Is that as I recall?
I think Alabama feels their pain.
You know, unfortunately for Duke, they've lost to Florida State, Wake, Virginia Tech, and Miami back-to-back-to-back-to-back. So you know they're going to come out breathing fire, trying to get even with Virginia, a team that they've had success against in recent years in these no-defense games, although we know that will not be the case this weekend. But suffice to say, they probably have a little bit of hope in this game. Virginia's got to get out and get the lead and extinguish that hope early.
Just had a message from Jesse, our engineer, that he got a hold of Dave Teal. Dave has a 6-7-year-old, and he's not going to be able to join us tonight because of that family illness. So we'll have to get him back on at a future week and get his insights, both football and basketball. So I would say 3450910 may have an opportunity for call-ins tonight. If you have any comments about what's already been said, or you have questions for Frank, me, Michael, Dr. Call, you know, and he probably could answer allergy questions, and it'd probably save you an office visit, you know.
All right, Hobbo. All right. Let's look at a couple things real quick. As we hope to have Dr. Smith, Jody Smith, joining us from Ortho Virginia in a little bit. We know that Morgan Moses sprained his ankle against Maryland. To my knowledge, there were no other...
Did he come back in the game?
I don't think so, only really as a precaution. It was pretty late in the fourth quarter. There were no announcements of any surgeries this week, which is another week in a row, 2 weeks in a row. There have been no surgeries to repair any injuries. So Virginia has remained relatively injury-free in terms of their starting lineup. However, quite a few of the backups have gotten hurt. The only starter that we know of that's out for an extended period of time is Matt Snyder, the wide receiver from the school right
Deep
here,
Run.
Deep Run High School, a fine young man who really overachieved quite a bit. He went from walk-on status to playing some, good blocker, learned how to catch the ball a little bit better, and then became voted as a captain of the team. And it seems very unfair to that young man that he is not playing right now.
Maybe he might get back in time for a bowl game now that it looks like they may have a game in December or maybe even January. You never know. But
which brings me to this. Virginia needs this seventh win right now.
Well, the more wins they get, the upgrade of the bowl game continues. You know,
yes.
You sort of move up the pecking order, and you get farther up on that selection process. So, but you want to, you know, right now, they're still playing for the conference championship. You know,
they're not playing for a
minor bowl game. They're thinking, hey, we went out, we go to the ACC championship game.
That's right.
The Coastal is up for grabs.
And they control their destiny. That's the most important thing.
It's interesting. Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech over the last few years have been the heavyweights, and the winner of that game has gone on to represent the Coastal in the ACC championship game. It's interesting that they're playing again this year, this time on a Thursday night, next Thursday night at 8 o'clock.
Not next Thursday night, tomorrow night.
I'm sorry, tomorrow night.
I guess that is next Thursday, depending on how you define
it. So technically I was right.
Yeah.
But suffice it to say, you know Virginia fans are going to be cheering for Georgia Tech only because we need Georgia Tech to win that game because we win the head-to-head against Georgia Tech because we've beaten them already. We still have to play Virginia Tech, and somebody's got to give Virginia Tech the second loss. And so I'm not cheering necessarily against Virginia Tech.
Why can't we do that?
I am cheering for Georgia Tech, so it sort of evens up the playing field.
But we could give Virginia Tech the second loss.
Understood.
Again, goes
Understood.
Back. You know, we win out. We don't have to worry about anybody else beating somebody else.
Well,
we take care of business. We're going to be the representative of the Coastal Division.
Well, you know, and if we win the next two games, then we'll go into that Tech game with a lot of momentum.
Which would be crazy fun, wouldn't it?
That would be. And winning the Duke game, I'm not sure how much that's going to give us for BCS standings as far as bowl games.
Well, I know we've never won a game at Doak Campbell Stadium. What's the best we've ever played at Florida State?
We've had a couple of very painful fourth quarters down there. You know, one year our great defensive end Patrick Kearney came around the end and sacked Winky, the 29-year-old, I'm joking, he was only maybe 26-year-old quarterback for Florida State and injured him. He went out of the game, and the backup quarterback came in and played as if he was a Heisman Trophy candidate, and what was a very close game became a rout. There have been some other years where we hung around, but we've never really been in a game down there where we could close the deal. I think this game against Duke on Saturday at 3 o'clock in Scott Stadium is huge on so many levels. If Virginia can beat this team convincingly, and I think we're favored by, what, 9 points or something?
I think I saw 10.5. It was a double digit.
It's gone up.
Yeah.
If Virginia can win this game by, say, two touchdowns or more, they would take in a head of steam on this trip to Tallahassee, a different mentality, a lot of confidence, and a feeling that, hey, this is their time.
Well, the amazing thing to me is you look at Miami the last three games they played. They beat Georgia Tech handily at home. They just beat Duke 49-14, and sandwiched in between those two good performances is a loss to Virginia at home. So I think when you think about it, our win down there just gets more and more impressive as you look at, because Miami's playing well. You know, they had the game in Blacksburg where they certainly had a great chance to win in Blacksburg, but they played well. So they've got it going down there in Hurricane Land.
All right, I understand we've got a caller. Woody is on the line. Woody, this is Frank. Have you got a question for Bobby Call or ourselves?
Yeah, I've got a question for the allergist, Dr. Call. We have a really good friend of the Wahoos named Doug Williams in Mechanicsville, Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
Who's allergic to chicken. Can you explain the details behind that? Because he can eat all the
This is a first for who's talking.
We're getting into nutrition from the standpoint of diagnosing illnesses from chicken.
I was kind of quasi-kidding, but go ahead, Dr. Call, with a quick answer.
What was the last part of that question? He could eat what?
Well, he can eat all the eggs and bacon he wants. So I'm thinking if he can eat an egg, why can't he eat fried chicken?
Oh, it's the chicken protein. You know, egg is totally different than the chicken meat. So egg is just what gets the chicken started. And then after that, it's the protein in the meat. So, yeah, it's no chicken. It's better than, you know, eating crow, though.
Yeah, right. Call back in a couple of weeks. We'll be talking turkey when the Hokies come to town.
It's almost Thanksgiving. All right, we're going to jump. I believe John is on line one. John, are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, you have a question for Dr. Call or either of us?
Yeah, just a quick question. I think we have the type of team, you know, built around the offensive line and running game. I think we can compete. Of course, we have a long way to go as a team, as a team. But I think with the strong offensive line, strong running game, I believe we could compete with any team in the ACC if we don't turn the ball over.
Yes.
Do you think we can go down there to Florida State and give them a problem? And, you know, of course, when Virginia Tech comes to Charlottesville,
yeah,
I hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Turnovers will kill you. So, you know, the fact that we have a good running game, the fact that Rocco's playing well, making good decisions, I think we stand a good chance of not turning the ball over.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, Virginia's using the three running backs, and they all have done a real good job of hanging on to the football. We haven't put it on the ground that much. You know, the Watford kid had a fumble late in the game, which was unfortunate because I kind of felt sorry for him because he's being put in some tough situations now. So
he'll learn to get down. I guarantee you those coaches were in his helmet ear hole saying, get down. When he realized he got on the perimeter and there were three defensive players waiting for him, you don't want to jump up in the air and try to become Superman. You want to get down low, get your knees down, and play the next down and keep possession of the ball. Let me say this about John's call. I think, again, first things first, Virginia has to take care of business on Saturday, beat a good pesky Duke team. We cannot make this assumption that this game is anything close to a layup. It's not. It is. Duke will come out. They know this is basically, for them, it's like a bowl game because their season has been, in some ways, very, very frustrating. They've been in a lot of close games, and they've had a couple of blowouts when they let things get away from them. Virginia's got to get a lead early. They got to play a lot of players. They got to protect the ball. They've got to defend the pass. Duke is going to throw the ball all over the place. You talk about kicking it around the gym, Hobbo. One of Hobbo's favorite phrases, talking about basketball. Duke throws this ball to everybody. They got two great receivers, no two ways about it. This one receiver, Connor Vernon, is only a junior. He has 184 career catches. Donovan Varner, number 26, is a senior. He's got 189 catches.
So he's only two away from the all-time record.
Yeah, so Virginia's got their hands full.
Well, and this is a Duke team that's won, what, two or three games in a row against us?
No, well, against us.
Yeah. They're going to come in with confidence. You know, when you beat a team, you know, in previous years, you come back confident.
Well, they have a lot of hope. Now, they've lost four games in a row this season, and I promise you the players on this Duke team, they're looking to make amends. They've got a few games left in the season. They're trying to somehow recover. And, you know, they don't want their season to be known as the one where they fell right off the table. So,
you know, I'd like to see what the intensity at UVA's practices are this week, because that really tells the story. If you've got building your intensity up through practice throughout the week, you can have a great game. But if it's a lackluster practice week, trouble.
Well, I would think if they're ever going to be motivated, now's the time, because they've got a great opportunity in front of them.
Well, these kids, let's face it, the Virginia players on this team right now, with few exceptions, very few of them were playing in the Gator Bowl, you know, was that 4 years ago? So for most of them, this is exciting. You know, this is going to practice every day going, man, we are winning ball games. I mean, you know, Virginia's won four of the last five games, and we've got a minute before we go to break here. But
well, they're thinking big. It's not drudgery. You know, when you're losing, going to practice is not a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, what you talking about, practice?
Yeah.
Well, when there's talent there, that pushes everybody's game up, right? Because you got to do extremely well to maintain your starting position.
Absolutely. And the running backs are a perfect example. Perry Jones is leading by example, not only in the weight room, but on the practice field, in the classroom, and everywhere else. Mike Rocco has had to work harder to keep people to stop talking about David Watford. And it's infectious.
And I think Merrill Robertson made a great point, and that is Mike London and the coaching staff have done a sensational job with this team and the program.
All right, we're going to jump to break here. And when we return, we've got our last segment. We're going to cover the Olympic sports with Michael Tuskey. And this is one more segment of Who's Talking. Stay with us.